Oh my God, I'm tired.
Oh, same. Same here.
How many hours did you get last night?
Last night I got like, what was it, like 5-ish?
Five-ish?
But the night before, I think I slept for 12 hours.
12, and that didn't do it for you?
No, I woke up, I was still tired.
What does 12 hours of sleep feel like?
Still, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help.
It's just a wretched dream for me at this point. Listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Racket. I'm your host, Jared Jones, and with me, as always, is the in-flight hot towel to my waiting for people to move so you can get off the damn plane, MJ Kramer.
That was an odd one.
Those are a polarity of airplane experiences. I think we ran the gamut this year.
We did not get a hot towel, though.
I know, but I thought of it. Class. Yeah. I dreamt of it. I was like, you know what I could use right now? A hot towel so I could flip the guy who was playing, what was it, World of Tanks right next to us?
I don't know what it was. It was some kind of, it was like a sci-fi leaning to it because it had like aliens that he was having diplomatic meetings with.
I couldn't stop staring at it. I was trying to like read and or take a nap and I'm just like invested. Anyway.
I was too busy freaking out about the turbulence.
Exactly. Oh yeah, that was a hell of a turbulent flight. Anyhow, yes, we are back from Seattle. Emerald City Comic Con came and went. It was a lovely occasion, as it always is. I think it's actually my favorite con. What about you?
Yeah, it's been my favorite con for a while. And Seattle is a very nerd-friendly town, so they've got a very big captive audience for it.
Yeah,
and
even the Gap was getting in on it. It's like superhero savings. I'm like, come on, the Gap. You don't have to put on airs for us.
Yeah.
So much news came pouring out of Emerald City. A lot of exciting panels, a lot of exciting news. I'm going to say this really quick. I feel like there was less of a publisher presence this year. I mean, there were plenty of publishers there, but there was a dearth of publishers that just didn't show up.
DC and Marvel were not there.
No.
Which, I mean, doesn't really matter when they don't really do anything. DC usually has more of a, like, they'll have little giveaways and stuff, and they'll have stuff at their booth to see. But Marvel, I mean, it doesn't really matter if Marvel doesn't go. They don't do anything. There's a big empty space where sometimes they'll just, like, crowds of people that gather around and yell.
Yeah, like that big obnoxious stage that they put up at C2E2.
Yeah,
that's always fun. Well, let's break down a couple of news bits from the con and share our feelings about them, because obviously we were too busy eating sushi and sleeping in. That's where I got all my sleep, actually, paradoxically enough, at the con.
We had a pretty luxuriously low-key show. It was great.
Yeah, no regrets. One regret. I wanted to go to the DC panel.
Oh, yeah?
And I completely biffed that one. Read all about it on the comics page. Hashtag Doom Rocket. All right, so let's look at Thursday news bits. Marvel released a few more creative teams for their Get Fresh initiative.
Get Fresh.
Like, we know now that Ryan Ottley, in his post-Invincible days, will in fact be illustrating The Amazing Spider-Man.
Which is pretty exciting.
With the writer Nick Spencer. It's curious that they're putting Spencer on such a lighthearted, uncomplicated book after...
Is it? I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, I was going to say, is that a coincidence? Probably not. I mean, they plan these things like, you know, at least a year in advance, right?
Yeah.
So...
I mean, he's probably planning on going onto this book since, like, probably around Secret Empire, before then even. Like, they plan these things way ahead.
So I'm hoping we're getting more like The Fix or The Superior Foes of Spider-Man kind of Nick Spencer. I think that would be crazy good book. And I think it'll pair very nicely with Chip Zdarsky's Spectacular Spider-Man book. Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
Probably still not going to read it. I'll read Chip's book, but I don't. You got to really have a lot of something to get me to read a Spider-Man book.
A lot of oomph.
Yeah.
Like Jody Houser say?
Yeah. Or Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah.
And or Joe Quinones.
Of course. What news out of Thursday, or any day really, it doesn't matter, out of Emerald City that you want to chat about?
Well, there were a couple other Marvel tidbits that they released, like Mark Waid and Jesus Saiz on Doctor Strange. It's just it's annoying that they're just this fresh start is cutting so many new big news teams on these books.
Wasn't Donny Cates just announced for Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I think he's only like 5 issues in, maybe? Maybe?
He was expressing emotional malaise from walking off that book already on Twitter, I think.
And then they've also announced The Life of Captain Marvel, which is the weird thing about this is that they're keeping Margaret Soule on this book. This is like the third new number one that she's doing. Or no, the second one because
it's got to be the second.
Yeah. But she's been on it for a while now, and I think it's weird that, as far as my store goes, like, the sales on that book aren't super great. It's not a bad book. Like, she's originally a novelist, and I feel like she's gotten much better at writing comics.
Yeah.
And have making them feel like a good comic, as opposed to just, like, a novelist trying to write a comic.
Definitely.
And she's going to be working with Carlos Pacheco on this, which is pretty cool. He's pretty great.
No, Pacheco, sorry. I'm a follower. That would definitely get me to read that book.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that this will be fifth time's a charm to really grab a real audience for this book. And maybe with the movie coming, people will actually have that little spark of curiosity to really want to pick it up.
Well, let's move over to the last and final Marvel, and then we can move on to the other big news. The most interesting creative team announcement, I think, so far is Ta-Nehisi Coates and Lionel Yu on Captain America.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was, yeah.
Yeah, two people
of color. That happened while we were on the plane.
Yeah, two people of color on the Cap book.
Yeah, really exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a considerable emotional shift, I'm feeling, from what's going on with Wade and the Somni run.
Like, I can only assume that Coates is going to go at least slightly more political than Wade has, because Wade has given a really feel-good romp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good.
But it's a total palate cleanser after Secret Empire.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
So I am very much hoping that Coates is going to go for a little bit more meaty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How you feel about Lionel Yu?
I'm not a fan of Lionel Yu. He puts no emotion into the faces he draws, and they all look the same. So that I'm not super excited about, but Coates, and honestly, the way all artists seem to go nowadays is they get about 3 or 4 issues in and then somebody else is on. So I probably don't have too long to have to deal with the Yu's art.
Before we jump into the very surprising Vertigo news, I wanted to talk really quick. Did you get a chance to look at the Jinx World stuff that Bendis was putting out?
Only a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks interesting. I'm excited that he's doing more creator-owned stuff, because for a while he just kind of seemed to give up on it.
He's working with a couple artists on this one.
Artists that he's experienced in working with, who, you know, they're great teams together.
Yeah. Well, I think the interesting one is Pearl, which Bendis himself says is going to be very much like Jessica Jones, but more so somehow. How? Is every other word going to be fuck?
Maybe. We'll
maybe. See. But he's working with Michael Gatos on that. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be really, really cool. Probably would have enjoyed seeing him work with a female creator on this one, considering it's a female character book, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then we've got Cover, which I think is an obnoxious title. Cover to cover number whatever I see myself typing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing that with David Mack. David Mack doing interiors.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's been a while for that since that. But that one sounds cool. It's like going to be like some kind of like a spy book in which a comic book artist is recruited to work for an intelligence agency of some sort. And that was, it's where the double entendre of, not double entendre, that's the wrong use of the word, where cover comes into play.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what it
undercover
is.
Undercover.
I'll tell you what it is. It's projecting just a little bit.
Maybe.
Mr. Bendis romanticizing.
But at least he's writing a comic book artist and not a comic book writer.
Right.
So there's that.
Right, right.
But to the Vertigo news.
Mm-hmm.
Much more up my alley.
Holy mackerel. Kind of feel like I saw this coming somehow. Seeing as though with Vertigo, DC's just been kind of hanging out, putting out a book every once in a while.
Well, I find it interesting that with Vertigo, they moved over most of the licensed characters
to the DCU proper.
Yeah, to DCU. And we've even seen Daniel recently in
Metal.
In Metal.
Which was a tonal shift that gave me
very
complete
yeah.
whiplash.
Yeah. So I find it very interesting that they're keeping all of these very licensable characters in Vertigo and having these 4 new ongoings
yeah.
that part of the Sandman universe.
The Sandman universe. I believe curated by Mr. Gaiman himself.
Yeah, it sounds like they're doing that Sandman universe number 0 that he's like seemed like he was gonna like sort of oversee the plot
right.
on that, and then those 4 writers were gonna assist on it, and then they're gonna go off and do their own 4 different books. I wonder how involved he's going to remain after that number 0 issue.
My reckoning is that Molly Mayen's really gonna be stepping up into this role as kind of like the overseer of this line, this particular line of Vertigo books. What I want to know is what is the proper future of Vertigo itself beyond Sandman universe, because this thing's going to have its own banner, or at least the first batch of issues will anyway. I feel the name Sandman universe is a little unimaginative, considering the subject matter.
What else were they going to do?
Why, it's very marketable. It's
That's
got
the point.
Well, it doesn't feel like a Sandman book in that regard to me. But a roundup of Nalo Hopkinson, Cat Howard, Cy Spurrier, who we like, Dan Waters, covered by Jay Lee, and the artist Bilquis Evely, mm-hmm. who is one of our favorite artists.
Oh, yeah.
Working on a Sandman book. That's huge.
They have not announced artists for the ongoings yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering if Evely's going to stay with one of those, mm-hmm. or if she was just here for this one shot. Anyway, I'm very, very excited to hear who these artists are going to be.
Right.
But apparently Nalo Hopkinson and Cat Howard are both novelists.
Yep.
And the interview that I read with Entertainment Weekly, maybe, Neil Gaiman spoke very highly of both of them.
Yeah.
And that makes me excited. I hope that they both have enough editorial input to make sure that as novelists starting out writing comics, that it will read like I mentioned before, like a novelist attempting on comics.
How do you feel about Vertigo having a shared universe?
Well, I mean, it did before. So, I mean,
did it really?
Well, you know, Sandman, Hellblazer, Swamp Thing.
I mean, like, sure, they would bop over, but was it really, like, intertwined? Did one thing affect the other in a profound way?
I mean, I don't think that they were involved with each other as much,
mm-hmm.
but I can see them wanting to do that just because they mm-hmm. want to have people buy four books.
Yeah.
But I think, if anything, like, this will get more money into Vertigo so they can start making more books.
Absolutely.
But until they start having a more a competitive thing to offer creators who want to make creator-owned books,
mm-hmm.
until they start getting closer to what, you know, Image and everybody else can offer, I don't think they're going to be getting a lot more of those brand spanking new original concept series.
It's a strange thing to think about what's going to happen to Vertigo in the next, like, let's say 5 years, because they're putting out DC Inc. What's the other all ages?
Zoom.
That's
DC
it.
Ink and DC Zoom.
That's right. There's the rumor of the Black Label DC line, which is like R-rated Elseworlds, where they're just trying to make more Killing Jokes and Dark Knight Returns featuring all the characters instead of just Batman. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not surprised. There's still a lot of people who think that Dark and Gritty means it's good.
But I
think there's an audience for it too. I'm not saying it's the best, but there's people who are stoked about it. There's people who super duper love Batman White Knight and want to see more in that ilk, and I'm
mm-hmm.
that's what they're aiming for.
And White Knight, of course, the trade or the collected edition of that will launch this Black Label. Apparently, it was supposed to be announced at Emerald City. It was not. I think that was one of the bigger surprises for me. But
I might be waiting for WonderCon. DC has a very big presence at WonderCon, as always, because it's right there in Anaheim.
But I think also because they're doing South By this year with Bendis,
mm-hmm.
that they're probably going to drop that too. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Kelly Sue DeConnick was booking a flight to Texas.
That'd be pretty cool.
To talk about her new Wonder Woman book.
Some things that I thought that were really cool looking were some of the news out of Dark Horse.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Creative team from Spell on Wheels,
mm-hmm.
Kate Leth, Megan Levins, and Marissa Louise, are reuniting for this Mysticons series that looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some Magical Girl awesomeness. And there's another Magical Girl book that looks like they're doing with Jen and Tyler Bartel called Crystal Fighters. It said that Jen and Tyler Bartel are going to be co-writing it. I couldn't tell by the announcement who's doing the art.
Yeah, language wasn't 100% clear.
So, fingers crossed it's Jen Bartel on art, because I like her art a lot. My pin collection and shirt collection mm-hmm. can stand by that. But yeah, so those two coming out of Dark Horse, they've got some cool stuff aimed at the girl/younger girl market, which is exciting for me.
I couldn't help but notice that they announced only one burger book out of their entire lineup. It was The Alcoholic, and it's a 10th anniversary expanded edition. It's not, a new version of the series
mm-hmm.
By Dean Hasbiel.
But that's fine. I mean, they don't need to be overly aggressively expanding
mm-hmm.
this line they have.
Right.
I mean, they're, you know,
they're just rolling out. It's been a very easygoing rollout, Burger
yeah.
Books, I think. And so this is in keeping with that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there will at least be one further announcement come San Diego.
Yeah.
But
probably by then.
Yeah, I know. I just want all the good stuff to drop at Emerald City because I'm exhausted now. And by C2, no one ever gives out anything good at C2E2.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, something good drops. Well, let's talk about some personal stuff. We stopped by a lot of booths. We said hello to a lot of people. Had a great time hanging out and chatting with all of you. What kind of good kind of stuff did you pick up?
Well, you were there. You know, I got a lot of pins.
Yes, you did.
I buy a lot of enamel pins, and There was one row this year, well, I guess kind of like a, that were full of pretty much all of my favorite artists. Mm-hmm. It was like Joan Bartel, Chris Anka, Kevin Wada, Zach Rowan,
Joe Quinones,
then Jordan Gibson. Then was Babs Tarr right next to him? Or yeah. Was it somebody?
I think there was someone between Jordan and Babs.
Oh, I don't remember who that was, but they were probably great. And then across from them, like Robert Wilson,
Chris Sabella,
Genevieve FT, and Nick mm-hmm. Terhorst. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just it was mind-bogglingly good. All of them had such good merch. And yeah, I got at least two enamel pins from like all of them. So it was really fun. And we got like tons of stickers from Joe Quinones and Jordan Gibson.
I got to grab a couple of cool books. I got to grab an advanced copy of Crowded. Yeah, with Shanghai Red as well.
Yeah.
Chris Sabella was kind enough to scribble his name on those. Very excited to read these. Haven't had a chance to yet.
Yeah, Chris Sabella announced both of those books coming out from Image at Image Expo, mm-hmm. which we haven't had a chance really to cover since it happened like, what, a day after we had our recorded our last episode?
Yeah. I got to get a lot of prints.
Yeah.
I don't usually buy prints because I don't know what the hell to do with them. Put them on the fridge, I guess.
They were nice small ones, though.
Yeah. Joe Quinones had this cool Superman twofer that I got.
Nick Cage as Superman.
Nick Cage is from Superman Lives. Now, I couldn't watch that documentary. I just, the wounds are still too near. But, like, just the image of Nick Cage with long black hair wearing this hideously Burton-esque Superman suit. Somehow, Joe made it look beautiful.
Well, of course he did, because he's Joe. Of course he did.
So I got me one of those. And then, of course, more recognizable Quinones version of, like, a Chris Swan, John Byrne Superman. I was into it. But my favorite is his Michelle Pfeiffer Give Me a Kiss, Santa Claus, Catwoman print.
With her hair coming out of the tears and the mask. Oh, yeah. It's really great.
That was really awesome. Got to run into our pal J.B. Rowe, Chicago illustrator. Picked up a couple of zines from him, not to mention some stickers.
And a pin.
Ran into our friend Alex Chung. Hello, Alex. He laid a couple of issues on me of books that he's
really
worked on.
Really pretty looking.
Oh, they're both absolutely gorgeous. He gave me a copy of Astral, a book he did a little while back with Louis Joyce, and then Zyra and the Kronos Gym, which he had illustrated by Dan O'Bara, whose artwork is absolutely stunning. So if you're sniffing around for something like that, hit up Alex. Maybe he'll hook you up.
Another thing that I was able to pick up is, I think it was from last year, Adam Hughes' sketchbook.
Yeah, no.
So it's a bigger, like, magazine-sized dealy, and just on, like, really nice, thick watercolor paper. The quality on that book was beautiful. And it was cool to get to see Mr. Hughes. I think he said this is the first time he's done the Seattle show since, like, 2011, 2013, something like that. Really excited he got to be there.
I got to pick up a couple of cool things that were given to me. I'm not going to say from who, but I got a really cool Tom Mueller orange tote from, I think it was Thought Bubble he was handing those out. I can't believe I own one because I don't get to go to London. It's for the elite. But I also got a copy, a variant cover of Punk's Not Dead, #1, signed by Bill Sienkiewicz. Mm-hmm. I think that's Sienkiewicz's scribble there.
Looks like him.
It's intense, I'll put it that way, and very humbling to have this in my hands. So I had a good cop.
I also got three shirts from this awesome creator who goes by Mini Van Van. So I got this really super cute cropped hoodie with Artemis and Luna from Sailor Moon. And this really super cute punk Princess Mononoke t-shirt. And this other one that is, I guess, an original character of hers is cute little vampire boy with all of these, like, vegetables and pumpkins behind him. And it says, dead on the inside.
For me. Dead on the inside, you said?
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now.
Same.
Nothing to do with you. Just cons. Old.
Feel it in your bones more mm-hmm. and more as the years go by. It's harder and harder to, like, so stay out. Is
Sally Field, you feel it in your bones.
Oh, it's true. I mean, like, we only really went to, like, hung out at the Sheridan Bar, like, what, two nights out of the whole weekend?
And we went to bed early in one of them.
But Sunday we closed down the bar, though, so at least there's that.
Why did we do that? Why did we do that? All right, hey, you ready to do the top five?
I guess I am.
Let's do the top five. All right, MJ, I'm going to start us off this week. You always get to start us off.
Do
I? Actually, I noticed that, like, the last episode I was editing, I was like, we used to do it on rotation. We used to do reviews. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just used to that.
Well, then get going.
I guess it doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah. My first one is I'm just very happy to have Superman back on this list. The book has been absent for a little while just because DC's been tossing artists back and forth like nothing matters, and that kind of apathy bugs me. But Patrick Gleason is back on art chores for, I think, one of the final arcs that he'll be doing with Peter J. Tomasi and Alejandro Sanchez, and it's The Bizarroverse Part 1. I usually love Bizarro arcs. One of my favorites is the one that Greg Pak and Aaron Kruder did for Action Comics a few years back. Easily the best Superman story that came out of the New 52. But now that this team's coming back to tell us some really wackadoo stories featuring none other than Bizarro number one, I'm back on my bullshit. Superman number 42 starts us off this week. MJ, what's first for you?
I just wanted to make one note about that cover, is that it's got Crypto wearing glasses, which I think is super silly.
Oh, that's great.
And then there's just, like, Streaky just hanging out up top there, just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, a little mouse on him, too.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's fun.
But my first one that I'm going to point out is Extremity number 12.
Mm.
Daniel Warren Johnson and Mike Spicer. This is a, maxi-series, 12-issue series. This is the end of it. Which is super, super sad.
Mm-hmm.
This has been such an excellent series, but is admittedly always better when a book has a set ending that the artist wanted to end it there, had this specific story to tell, and knew exactly where to stop it. It's this sort of meditation on revenge and the futility of it, kind of forgiveness instead of that. It's real sad. It's real great. I'm hoping one of these days it'll be out in some big fancy 12 hardcover that has all 12 issues in there. But for now, it's got two trades. One of which is out already. If you're not reading Extremity, go and pick it up. Extremity number 12 is my first pick for this week.
What I got is another Image book. Yours is an end, mine is a beginning. It is Gideon Falls number 1 by Mr. Jeff Lemire and artist Andrea Sorrentino.
I gotta say, that is also my second pick for this week.
We got colors by Dave Stewart, letters by Steve Wands. This is an A-plus team. Very exciting book, very exciting premise. We had the opportunity to review it early. You check out Check that out on Doom Rocket. We'll share it again on social media today. Gideon Falls, number 1, is shared by MJ and myself. But real quick, we just got a press release stuffed in here. I'm sure this was announced earlier, but Jeff Lemire is going to be writing Sentry for Marvel.
Mm.
And art by Kim Jacinto.
Oh, Kim Jacinto did one of the A-Force arcs.
That's right. Just thought I'd share that.
Yeah. But the cool thing about Gideon Falls is that it is, as you might guess, like from the solicit info saying that there's something called the Black Barn in there, and just the name of it being Twin Falls sounds a lot like Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And it is very Lynchian. It has that subtle creepfest horror going on. I enjoy that aspect. And I know that Lemire himself is a huge Twin Peaks fan. I was lucky enough to get this really super awesome Cooper print that he had at TCAF last year. Gideon Falls is a book I cannot wait to read more of.
Oh yeah, no, that's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to you, MJ. What's next?
So back to me. Okay, so my third pick for this week is another Image book.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about being back on your bullshit. I'm picking, of course, Wicked and the Divine number 34.
It's back.
It's back. It's been like 3 months since we've gotten a new like issue, you know, in the series.
That they give you those one shots in between arcs.
Yeah,
that's nice.
We had 1 month off and then 2 1 shots. The one shots, especially the 1923 one, was oversized and super great. But this is, we've got McKelvey back on the art, Wilson back on the colors. It's a really pretty book, as usual. They're finally, after the bombshell craziness that was issue 33, finally going to be revealing some of the secrets that have been building since the first issue. So it's so good.
So cool.
Yep. What's your next one, Jared?
I am going to recommend Prism Stalker number 1 from Image Comics.
That was on my short list.
Mm-hmm. This is written and illustrated by an artist named Sloan Long. And Sloan is a wonderful person. I got to interview her at Emerald City. You can check out that interview at DoomRocket.com later today. It's about refugees. It's about indentured servitude. It's about a lot of things. But one thing that it absolutely is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Its color schemes are stunning. And one thing I like about the story is that the color dictates the story. like color evokes memory for characters and such like that. So it's a very interesting premise. It's a very lovely book, and its first issue is absolutely a must read. So Prism Stalker number one is my next pick this week. MJ, what's next for you?
Well, I was just gonna mention, Stolong did the art on From Under Mountains.
That's right.
That really cool short fantasy series that Marion Churchland wrote.
Yeah, she's in that clip with Graham and all of them.
Yeah, her art's amazing.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, so I will switch over to not an Image book now.
Oh no.
I was gonna pick Shade the Changing Woman, number one.
Hey, I picked that one too.
No!
You already knew that.
I did.
Aw, it was nice that you picked it though.
So, yeah, the Young Animal books, after having all their series is kind of end at 12, they're all kind of relaunching.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being Shade the Changing Girl, now we've got Shade the Changing Woman. Slight status quo change in this book, but it's still pretty much the same characters. Rack, the Shade the Changing Man from the Milligan series has mm-hmm. shown up in here.
Which is fun.
Mm-hmm. But it's still the same super great all-lady creative team of Cecil Castellucci, Marley Zarconi, and Kelly Fitzpatrick. I love this book. Super glad to have its psychedelic craziness back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just glad that Young Animal's still popping out books. All their books came to an end, and well, except for Doom Patrol. But we had Milk Wars, which was a whole hell of a lot of fun, but I'm ready for more Young Animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I got a little nervous when those books, like, ended.
Yeah, and there was, like, no foreseeable announcements mm-hmm. on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Long live DC's Young Animal. Yeah. That's the imprint for me. Moving over to me, my final pick this week is Assassinistas number 3 from Black Crown and IDW. Of course, it's written by the lovely Teenie Howard, illustrated by the inimitable Gilbert Hernandez, colored by Rob Davis, letters by Aditya Bidikar. Assassinistas is just a hell heck of a lot of fun. Everyone keeps calling it Kill Bill, as directed by Wes Anderson. I guess that's fine. That's a fine way to...
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. It's just a hell of a lot of fun. If you're into Palomar, if you're into Love and Rockets, and if you're into Teenie's acerbic wit, which you absolutely should be, Assassinistas is the book for you. So that closes out my picks. MJ, let's have you close this out. What do you got?
All right, my last pick is an IDW book. Also an IDW book.
Mm-hmm.
The Highest House. And this is written by Mike Carey with art and lettering by Peter Gross. The famed creative team from... the original run of Lucifer.
Yeah.
The cool thing about this book that I didn't even realize until we got it in at my store is that it is magazine sized.
You know, that's awesome. When I have to make those banners for mm-hmm. our top five, mm-hmm. those magazine sized things are a real bitch to fit.
Well, it is also kind of hard, you know, at displaying them at a comic shop when mm-hmm. all your display space is made for normal size single issues. So I just had to cram these in on the shelf when I was putting out the new books last night.
Oh no.
Yeah. And also, Diamond isn't super great at shipping books that are this size,
mm-hmm.
so reorders of this might end up getting crushed. All of that aside, it's really good. I had a chance to read it last night. It's just a really cool new fantasy series. It does a really good job of establishing its world. Really excited to read more of it. And it's fantastic to see this team back.
Yeah.
And Mike Carey's been putting out stuff here and there, but this is the first one of his recent releases to really grab me. And just as a side note, as far as like the packaging of this book, the spot gloss on the cover, like, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
This is such an eye-grabbing piece of
comics literature.
An artifact, yes. So Highest House from IDW, super, super good.
Awesome. Well, thank you, MJ. That's our top five most anticipated issues of the week. What'd you like this week? Let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, and of course at doomrocket.com. Moving into the second half of the episode, what we got here is just more announcements. We're exhausted. What do you want from us? You want creativity? Wait next week, or 2 weeks from now. We're going to talk about the Image Expo, which happened just after our last episode. So if it feels like we're backtracking, get over it. Image Expo, lots of exciting new releases, lots of exciting new creative teams, lots of stuff to unpack, only so much time to do so. So MJ, let's talk about some of our favorite or most intrigued offerings. How about you start us off?
Well, unfortunately, I already mentioned the Christopher Sabella pieces.
You did.
Both of those look super great. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Julia Capra, is going to be even editing one of them.
Yeah.
So those were those two were probably the biggest standouts for me. Also super looking forward to the John Layman announcement.
Mm-hmm.
That monster book he's doing with Nick Patara, which...
Leviathan.
That looks great. I'm really glad to see more coming out from John Layman since Chew ended. That was like year before last?
Could
last
be, year. Yeah. No, that feels right.
Yeah, it's been a while since Chew ended. So
been a while.
Yeah, I'm real glad that John Layman is back writing more books. Yeah, and with art from Manhattan Project's Nick Patara, that is an exciting team right there.
Speaking of exciting artists, there are a couple of, just two off the top of my head that I'm looking forward to. Jen Partel doing interiors on Blackbird.
Oh, my goodness.
With Sam Humphries, who's been killing it on Nightwing, and now I'm willing to follow him into a creator-owned territory. You sold me on DC, now I'm willing to go into hell with you.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's going to impact at all the announcement that she was going to be doing interiors on a Storm book.
That's still a rumor.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything substantive on that, and Jen wasn't talking at Emerald City, so. Yeah.
I should have asked her about it, but I didn't. Silly me.
That's fine. Live and learn.
Either one of those I would like to see her doing, just as long as I get to see her on interiors, because her and her color palette, catnip for me.
We both like Copra. That's a book that MJ and I both
Oh, Michael Fife.
Michael Fife is doing a Bloodstrike, I think, one shot with Rob Liefeld, which is both perfect and surreal all at the same time. I know nothing about Bloodstrike, and I have not read a Rob Liefeld comic since I was like, I don't know. But this one, I'm checking out, just based solely on Mr. Fife's artwork. He's something else.
Fingers crossed this is another book in the vein of Brandegram's Prophet, which took an old Liefeld property and reinvigorated it and super indie-fied it, and yet still used all of the old like continuity and played off of that.
Well, one thing that Prophet didn't have that this one will have is Mr. Liefeld himself.
That is true.
But with Fife.
And yet he created these characters.
And so. Yeah, no, shut my mouth. What did I do lately? Stub my toe, that's what I did. Dead Guy Fan Club by Annie Wu is a book I'm very much excited about. Annie Wu's been missing in my life, and it's so lovely to see that she's got her own creative book coming out through Image. I'm sure it's going to look absolutely stunning.
And this one sounds super cool, too.
Yeah, no, I'm really into it.
It's like three fans of like a deceased rock star, right? Mm-hmm. And then they come together to try and figure out more about how he died, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Dead Guy Fan Club? I think that's what it was.
All they give you is,
maybe I'm off. Who knows?
They give you fleeting synopses, and poor Kat and Andrew and all the wonderful people at Image PR are probably working overtime. So look for the particulars as they do the rollout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we got here? J.H. Williams has got a book with Hayden Blackman, Echolands.
Mm-hmm.
That looked interesting.
It's nice to see them back.
Yeah.
After a long absence. One thing that I'm very much hoping for in this slew of announcements from Image Expo is that they come out in a slightly more timely fashion than some of the past years' announcements have.
Right.
Like Versus, which just came out like last month. That was like a year?
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
It was a super long time coming out for that.
That took a while.
But supposedly Image has been a little bit more not letting stuff be solicited until there's a lot of books in the can.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much hoping that these will be coming out sooner rather than later. So we can keep this excitement going, anticipation.
Well, I mean, we were talking to some creators and they're working on projects they can't even talk about yet because they're still on issue 6.
Mm-hmm.
And like Image and a couple of other publishers are getting really good about making sure they have at least two whole arcs in the can before they even announce a book now, which I think is really shrewd business because you don't want late books.
Yeah, something that Skybound is definitely doing this because with Robert Kirkman's new book, which comes out tomorrow, and I didn't put it in my top 5, but it's actually pretty good, Oblivion Song number 1.
You read it?
Yes. They sent out to retailers a graphic novel of the first 6 issues a few months ago so that we could actually read it, know what we're selling, know what, you know, what we think, that we think our customers are going to buy it. It's good. It's Kirkman. People are going
to
buy it.
I got to hand it to Skybound. They really know how to treat retailers.
But it's amazing. Like, I think he sent out a recent letter thing and said that, like, they're almost done with, like, issue 10 or 12 or something.
Wow.
So it is awesome to hear that. With so many Image books having delays that really, really hurt sales on the books, to know that at least, you know, a book like Oblivion Song, book that big, where there will be no delays because they are that far ahead on it. It's great, and I really hope other non-Skybound end of Image is going to start doing that too.
We saw Lemire posted on Twitter, I think last night, that he was starting. He was like, "This is where I'm at," and it was like the Terrifics number 11. Like he's already on issue 11.
Great,
that's awesome stuff. Getting back to the expo, Todd McFarlane made a big splash. Guess he was feeling a little dusty because he announced 5 new projects. We got Medieval Spawn and Witchblade crossover miniseries. I wonder if it will be the Witchblade from the reboot.
Yeah.
From Top Cow, who knows? Spawn kills everyone too because I guess he wasn't thorough in the first one.
Say what you will about Spawn, it still sells, man.
A new ongoing monthly called Misery. Now this one makes me raise my eyebrow because if all people who are doing a response to the Me Too movement, I don't know if Todd McFarlane's the guy I want behind it. Ooh. Check this out. This is what this synopsis says. It says, in the wake of the Me Too scandals arises a teenage hero who's tired of being pushed around and abused by the actions of others. This new character, Misery, will help out those innocent people who have been victimized by the evil that has spread across the entire planet. So, misogyny? Is that the evil? The patriarchy?
We'll see what Todd McFarlane has to say about that.
I mean, I've already got my scope set. I'm ready to blast this thing out of the sky, you're right. We'll see what goes on. Well, we've got 2 more left. We just got the ongoing Spawn. Is it still Al Simmons? Who's the Hellspawn?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. I don't know. And then the Sam and Twitch True Detectives 8-part miniseries. And I gotta say, I did enjoy the Sam and Twitch mini from way, 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 way back. But again, I was a teenager. So what were you gonna say, MJ?
Well, one of the announcements that got me pretty excited is one called The Weatherman, mainly because it features art by Nathan Fox with colors by Dave Stewart. Mm-hmm. Nathan Fox is phenomenally good, and you don't see him doing stuff a lot. I know he works at one of the like sequential art colleges, I think, in New York. Mm-hmm. So like he's busy, he's got lots of stuff going on. I'm super, super excited to see him back doing interiors on a comic. It's going to be written by Jody LaHoop, who was one of the co-writers on Shirtless Bear Fighter, which was hella funny if you didn't read that.
I read it.
I mean, like listeners, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like a really great, great team. LaHoop, Fox, and Stewart. That's a book that I'm pretty down with.
What's the Furthest Place From Here, which reunites Tyler and Matthew from 4 Kids Walking to a Bank. These are both very long titles. They're going to Image, mm-hmm. Which I think is interesting. I totally support anyone who wants to pop out a creator-owned to supplement their incomes and such. What's the Furthest Place From Here? It tells the story of a gang of young punks, and I'm reading from the synopsis here. Getting lost in the wasteland of America. After the youngest member disappears, their quest to find her may put them in a fight to survive against the most deadly terrain, the most dangerous gangs, and maybe even each other. That's or maybe not. It actually says or maybe not.
Really?
Either way, they're going to find out how the world ended. So, hey, let's figure it out.
That is a team that I will trust with whatever because We Can Never Go Home was one of my favorite series that came out that year.
Yeah, that was a good book.
So good, even if it was a little late.
4 Kids, I liked. Its shipping schedule was a nightmare. I know that Mr. Rosenberg was going through some hardships at the time.
And also, it's hard to be putting out a creator-owned book that is not paying you when mm-hmm. you have, like, paying gigs.
Yeah,
you know,
and not just any paying gigs. He's working at Marvel now,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can forgive that, you know, yeah. as much as we do bitch about late books.
I'll still bitch about it. Yeah. I appreciate his candor. Like, he's very open and very clear with his readership is another thing I appreciate. But I'm going to be clear. It's like, hey, let's get a couple of books in the camp before you announce it. That kind of thing. But I'm sure that they have. That's Image's shtug these days. So yeah, What's the Furthest Place From Here is the last thing I'm pretty stoked about on the Image Expo. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
I think I listed all of mine. I'm sure there's something that I loved that I'm not even remembering.
Well, there's Death and Glory by Remender and Bengal. And Bengal's been sharing pages on Twitter that look absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. And to see interiors from this particular artist is going to be interesting. And I like Rick Remender's stuff occasionally. Ghost was pretty great.
His stuff sells great.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every week we ask you, our listeners, a pressing question on our minds. And this week's question, panels, friends, exclusives, why do you go to comic conventions? And what's your best con experience? We asked, you answered. MJ, what's doing over on Facebook?
Our friend Stephen Scott at IDW said, getting to hang out with folks like you is why I go and will keep going.
Oh, Steve. Doom Rocket's own Clyde Hall said, I've always loved the panel discussions, but the cosplaying has been a treat over the last few years. Seeing what others do and also cosplaying ourselves. And we managed to get our family, my daughter's family, and our granddaughter in a costume a few times. three generations of family cosplayers, and I've seen Clyde's cosplay. It's pretty spot on.
Our friend Katie Schenkel says, to get to see friends and also network, and a little of both. Also, I enjoy doing panels. Probably my favorite con experience was FlameCon, even accounting for the fact that I lost my voice as soon as we got into the hotel room, and then for the rest of the weekend.
Well, over on Twitter, Mr. Alex Chung, the aforementioned Alex Chung, said, I like how comic conventions are like nerd summer camp, hanging out with folks I may only see once a year or only know via the internet.
And Megan Ansbach on Twitter said, I go to see my friends and stalk artist Allie. Best con experience? Hitting it off so well with my Valkyrie hotel mates that we keep in constant contact well after the con has passed.
And Josh Kampa says, friends in Discovery, I'm fascinated by the methods that each artist uses to create. Comic-Con allows me a window into their process. Watching Temple Smith, Mafu, Jason Sean Alexander, and Megan Hutchison all make art over the weekend was rad, not just to hang with friends, but to see the vastly different ways that they attack the process. It's crazy to see how the result of make comics can be achieved by so many stylistic, material, and medium differences. And we ran a poll. Question, which Emerald City 2018 announcement are you the most excited to read? We gave you four options. Sandman Universe, More Black Crown, Pearl Uncovered by Bendis, and Mysticons from Kate Leth and her creative team. 47%, the Sandman Universe.
Expectedly.
Yeah, absolutely. Second place by almost by half, 26%, More Black Crown, which we did not get a chance to talk about, but Euthanauts and House of Muck. Euthanauts from T.D. Howard, Nick Roble, and then we've got House of Muck by Chris Sabella, who's working his ass off this year, and the name of the artist is escaping me. I'm failing left and right. And then, of course, in third place, Pearl Uncovered by Bendis, which seems fitting somehow, but Mysticons, only 6%.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, that makes me sad. So yeah, if you've got opinions on any particular issue, check out our polls. You'll have an opportunity to air your grievances. And also, make sure to watch out for that hashtag, Casual Wednesdays. And that's it. That's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesdays. I'm losing my voice.
You are.
Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Check out our 47-episode archive over on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and subscribe. Tell us how we're doing. Or search Casual Wednesdays over at doomrocket.com. And while you're on the internet, look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JaredJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
At @MollyJane_K.
And that's it. So until there's a comic convention that takes place exclusively in our bedroom, I remain Jared. That's MJ. And from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a great new comic book day. Comic Con in bed. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. That sounds a little spicy.
Nobody needs to come. Just us.